Hi, my name is Kirk Kinder, and this is Saving Yourself from Wall Street, the podcast for people who want to avoid Wall Street's sales tactics, high cost, and conflicted advice so they can take control of their financial life. So let's get to it. In today's episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast, we're going to detour from the usual financial talk and focus on a different aspect of retirement, but a critical one. Today's guests are Mary Morency and Jeanette Lalonde, and they are new retirement coaches. Now, what are new retirement coaches or retirement coaching? Well, you got to listen to the podcast to find out. But we all know that retirement today can be the longest period of your entire life, lasting 30 years or even longer than that. It isn't just a short stop until death like it was for the World War I or World War II generations. So Mary and Jeanette help people define the next phase of their life. They help them nourish their passions, refocus, rebalance their lifestyle, maintain a sense of accomplishment and belonging, and also, you know, take care of their physical, mental, and emotional well-being. These are all things that have been sorely lacking in the retirement planning community. And I think that you're going to really enjoy our conversation today. So Jeanette, Mary, welcome to the show. I appreciate your time.
It's great to be here, Kirk.
Great, great. I was really excited to have you on the show, both of you on the show, because, you know, I'm a numbers nerd. You know, I get into all the numbers. I try to provide lots of opportunities and possibilities for folks as far as the numbers. But there's so much more to retirement than numbers. And it's hard to convey that to folks. You know, people look forward to retirement. While they're working, they keep thinking life's going to be so great when they're retired, and they're focused on that. You know, they think they'll have time for hobbies and travel and family. But then when you really get into reality, you kind of find that there's actually a lot of increased depression for people who become retired. And I always talk about the Institute of Economic Affairs says that retiring actually increases a person's risk of depression by 40%. So why do you think that is?
Well, the reality is that retirement is a major life change, and there can be many complex issues at play. Our experience is that people go through a period of euphoria, okay, at the beginning where they want to play. I had someone last week coaching, and he's going on a vacation for a year, okay, so that's normal.
Okay.
But once they've lived through this honeymoon period, people often slide into an identity crisis, wondering what else is there. And you know, we've got a lifespan of 20 or 30 years. So after playing for a little while, you kind of say, well, what's my life meaning? So we find that those that have not put a plan together from a perspective of the psychosocial, they're more inclined to get stuck in this negative state, resulting effectively in a period of depression. That is the reality of the personal life curve, life change curve. So those who have a plan, then when they're at that stage, they can more easily take action to move out of this state and create a flourishing retirement. So that's the reality.
Okay. Well, so what do you think? You know, if somebody's looking at retirement here in the near future, what's the most important step that they could take to, you know, help them ensure a happy retirement?
Well, everybody's different, Kirk. We always tell our clients that there's no one-size-fits-all formula when it comes to retirement planning. Now, having said this, we find that those who take the time to do some introspection and some awareness building about what is really important in their lives at this stage, they're starting to build a strong foundation for a happy retirement.
Okay. So we've kind of talked, you know, retirement is a little bit more than the financial numbers. But what other areas could a person or a couple focus on for retirement planning? How do they kind of bring this to life?
Okay. Well, we find that many people arrive at retirement quite unbalanced. You know, their lifestyle is pretty heavy on the work and career side. So when we talk about retirement planning that goes beyond the numbers, what we're really talking about is helping them plan a more balanced lifestyle, one that pays more attention to matters such as health and wellness, various relationships, their own personal life satisfaction, and leisure activities. And so that's what we're working on at the individual level, trying to have them create a lifestyle that's much more balanced, even though, you know, the finances and maybe work will still play into their lifestyle for a period of time. Now, for couples, we find that often there's a lot of work to be done around aligning around a lifestyle. Things like how much time they want to spend together and how much time they want to spend apart, relationships with various members of their family, choosing where to live, what kind of social life they want to have. And what we find is the dual career couple that's used to going their separate ways every day can sometimes feel quite stressed and even conflicted when they have a constant life of togetherness. So, you know, there's some issues for the couple. We also find that where there are couples where there's one individual who has stayed at home, a newly retired partner can disrupt long-established roles. So what we like to do is mention a book that somebody wrote, and it's called I Married You for Better or for Worse, but Not for Lunch. And everybody laughs and they get it. They get it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So, you know, someone who's getting near retirement or somebody who's recently retired, how could they approach it then, you know, mentally? How do they get their mind around this, what you're talking about?
Well, what's important is, and where we help people, is to get excited about this stage of life. And it's normal. People have worries. We try and have them see that the best is yet to come. Okay. So the first step is to have them identify, verbalize, express their fears about retirement, and help them see how they can deal with them and transform those fears into more hope. They can then start thinking about concrete steps to address them. So the first thing is deal with the fears, and everybody has them. And we've done so many workshops and coaching, and that's the first step. We have them verbalize their fears. Another good place to start is by looking at one's mindset and have people realize what mindset do they have. So people have what we call more a growth mindset approach to retirement. They will tend to have a more positive attitude about retirement. They're learners and they grow by being curious. We have other people that have more what we call a fixed mindset, and they tend to see things more negatively. They don't think that life has anything new to teach them, and they tend to be very judgmental and feel victimized and grumpy. Okay. So our role as coaches is to have them recognize what mindset they have and help them shift if they have more of a negative mindset towards more of a positive mindset, and have them deal with their fears.
Okay. Well, could you elaborate just a little bit on, you know, the fears, what typically, you know, people are thinking? Because obviously in my industry, the biggest fear is I'm going to run out of money. I mean, that's always number one. But once you start to get past the numbers part, or is the numbers part the biggest fear that they have? But if you get past that, what do you usually see?
One big fear is isolation. Because often people, you know, their whole life was their work and their community. Their work community was where they had their friends, and or they may have it through family, through the children, etc. But now children are maybe older and, you know, may not be home anymore. So the feeling of isolation, there's the fear of boredom. Oh, my God, you know,
okay.
How am I going to deal with all of this time that I've got, and will I be bored? The need for socialization, the lack of that community. So those are some of the top fears that we've been hearing. Yeah. Mary, do you want to add?
Yeah, and there's also that feeling of being useful. You know, when we work, we have a place, and people rely on us. So there's a fear of not feeling useful for anybody anymore. And I guess the last fear that we hear a lot about is, well, you know, work gives me a structure. You know, I know what I'm going to do when I wake up in the morning, you know, and when I'm retired, I may just feel lost because I don't have a schedule anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mary, another one is prestige. Mm-hmm. For some people, the prestige of saying, you know, I had this role in an organization. Mm-hmm. So now what role will I have? You know, and being 24/7 with their spouse may be worrisome. And, you know, so those are some of the fears that we're hearing.
Well, so how do people kind of take the next step? Because like you're saying, it's pretty clear a lot of folks define themselves through their job or family or something like that. But I mean, how do you if you've been working and saving for retirement and you're thinking retirement's going to be just this huge vacation, how do you help people kind of define who they really are?
Well, this is a very big subject in our experience in having helped over 200 future retirees now, is that close to 70% of the people recognize that they have not yet distanced themselves emotionally from drawing their personal identity from their work. And, you know, a lot of us, including Mary and I, we're baby boomers retired, and baby boomers, we sought a lot of actualization through our work. So when the work is no longer there, it's a big gap. So we help people start to let go of this identity. What that means is, who am I and not what do I do? Okay. Mm-hmm. And when we need to respond to the question, who am I, that requires a lot of introspection. So we help them to start by taking stock. First of all, what's important to me? What are my values? What are my passion and dreams? And then they can be ready to start taking action.
Okay.
The other piece also that I'd like to add on this subject is that the realization that we never have more than 100% life energy to distribute amongst work, family, relationships, self. And we have them do an exercise of saying, you know, right now, over the last couple of years, where have you been putting your energy? Well, the reality that 100%, a lot of it, sometimes 60 to 80% is around work. Mm-hmm. So then it's kind of saying, okay, at retirement, where are you going to redistribute this energy? And people realize that if they've been putting 80% of their energy around work, wow, this will be a lot of energy I'll be able to put in other things. So we help them think about what are those other things, and they see how exciting it is to regain all of that energy to maybe place it elsewhere with family, relationship, and self. There's, on the other hand, also sometimes a realization that maybe at retirement, I may need to spend more energy around family, because the reality at retirement is there may be some issues that you need to respond to around grandparenting, support to your children and grandchildren, adult children that may be coming back at home, and necessarily caregiving responsibilities, whether it's for spouse or someone in family, children, etc. So that's an exercise that really helps people redefine themselves and where they want to put their energy.
Okay. And I imagine it's probably something that, you know, just like a regular financial plan, it's something that needs to be reconfigured or restructured. Somebody might think they want to do, I see a lot of times people talk about charity work and then they can't really find the right fit there, or there's other items that they think that they would love to do, but once they have more time to it, they find it's not quite as important as they thought. So do you find that, you know, people are sort of reconfiguring or updating this life plan often?
Exactly. And we talk a lot about it being a transition. You know, you get started and then you may need to shift and change. But you talked about volunteering, for example. And we encourage that a lot because research shows that by giving, you generate some really good positive energy and it really helps you in your life satisfaction. So volunteering, but volunteering in what? What type of activities? Where do I want to contribute in society? So those are the types of questions that we will raise to help the person put their plan together.
And you know, Kirk, we often tell them that you can try something in retirement. It's not like it's a career-limiting decision that you've taken a road down, you've taken a path down a certain road. You try it. If it doesn't suit you, you assess what is it that I liked and didn't like about it, and you make adjustments.
Okay.
So that's the beauty of this stage of life. And, you know, we tell them you're going to live for 20 to 30 years in retirement. So you're not going to have a 20 to 30-year plan. You're going to have periods of time, let's say 5-year plan, then another 5-year plan, because it's a long period of time that you're going to be in retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, financial planning, obviously most people know that they, before they retire, or at least I hope they do, that they need to make sure that they're there financially to do it. But you know, retirement coaching is a pretty new field. How would you say that you differ from most financial planners? And then how would somebody go about finding a retirement coach?
You're absolutely right, Kirk, that retirement coaching is a relatively new field. What we like to say to financial planners is we complement. Financial planning is essential. There's no doubt about it, okay? But it's not the end all, be all and end all of retirement planning. One needs to look at the non-financial aspects. So that's what we retirement coaches do. We help people plan for lifestyle issues. One could say that before you decide how much money you need in retirement, it would be a good idea to identify what kind of lifestyle you want. Things like travel, leisure activity, new home, supporting family members. These are all things that require money. So retirement coaches help people think through and plan for these lifestyle issues. And we believe that most people have their own answers, but they just need someone to guide them through their thinking by asking them the right questions. So people can find a retirement coach in many ways. I mean, they can Google and define them, but we tend to tell people to look at reputable retirement coach websites. So there are two that Jeanette and I are registered with. One is Retirement Options, and the other is the Retirement Coach Association. And most certified, reputable retirement coaches will be listed with one or both of those associations. And also, we like to remind people that in today's world, just like we're having this conversation virtually, many, many retirement coaching calls can take place over the internet or over the telephone. So they don't necessarily need to be face-to-face with a retirement coach to get help. It can be done virtually.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, this has been fantastic. I think it's needed. It's extremely needed. Everybody that I see come in, you know, I try to prep people a little bit. I try to get them thinking a little bit outside the box and what it's really going to look like. But I see it all the time when people, they'll retire. They've been working, can't wait for retirement. They get there. And then after a few months, they don't know what to do with themselves. They feel, like you said, isolated. Their whole network was at work. So it's extremely important, I think, that people do focus on that. And I think it'd be great if they did it even before they looked at the numbers, like you said. If folks wanted to learn more about you all specifically, where could they find some information? How could they interact with you?
Well, we have a website where they can learn about our approach to retirement coaching and have access to articles we've written, podcasts like this one that we do periodically. Sure. And we have a Facebook page, and we have a LinkedIn page as well. And rather than giving the names of these pages and our website over the on this podcast, if they just Google our names, Mary sure. Morency and Jeanette Lalonde, all of those links come up right away. So yeah. we're kind of proud of that, actually, that we just pop up.
Well, good,
we're
good.
Easy to find.
Yeah, well, and I'll also put all this information in the show notes so that when people want to look at that, it'll be on iTunes or our website, so they can have links straight to you. But I really appreciate your time. I think this has been fantastic. And like I said, it's something that I highly encourage people to think about before they retire. I always get nervous when I'm sitting with a client and I start to ask them, you know, what their vision is for retirement. And they just say, well, you know, basically we just want to keep our same lifestyle and we'll travel maybe a little bit and that'll be it. And I just know that there's going to be some issues when that's their answer. So it's great to know. So I love doing this so that people know there's something out there that can help them really define what the next chapter is in their life. And I really thank you for taking the time today.
And we want to congratulate you, Kirk, as a financial planner. This is very innovative, and you're opening up your concerns around providing value added to customers, to see that retirement is not just about financial, but about the psychosocial. So bravo
Absolutely.
To you.
Yeah. You know, the message is we care about you as clients, and we can not only care about your money, we care about you as persons.
Absolutely. I always try to say money is just a tool for you to live the life you want and align it with your values. And
fabulous.
I think that's just lost on so many people.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
your time.
So much.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure.
Bye now.
Okay. We'll talk to you.
Okay.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. I appreciate you stopping in. As always, you can find our podcast along with other articles and videos at savingyourselffromwallstreet.com. And now, the lawyers say hi.
Saving Yourself from Wall Street is hosted by Kirk Kinder. Kirk Kinder is the owner of Picket Fence Financial, a fee-only financial planning firm. Picket Fence Financial is regulated by the states of Maryland and Florida in accordance and in compliance with securities laws and regulations. Picket Fence Financial does not render or offer to render personalized financial or tax advice through the Saving Yourself from Wall Street podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.